10:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
We're going to win Iowa. Iowa, likewise, just we've had such great experience there, and I think we're going to win Iowa and Ohio and New Hampshire. We're going to win a lot of states.
We feel good. It's kind of like we've done all we can do. Now it's in the hands of the voters, but we feel really comfortable about it.
If you're registered by 8 p.m. and you're in a line anywhere in the city, you can still vote. But if you are not registered, you will not be able to vote.
Good morning. It is Tuesday morning, November 8th, 2016. It is Election Day. Teresa Tomeo with you, and it's good to be with you as we go to the polls to make a difference and, God willing, bring our country back to life and to marriage and to family and, as we always say, the things that matter most. And we are going to take your phone calls after the break, of course, and we'll give you that number after we give you the news and let you know what's happening regarding the election and other breaking news in and around our world on this very important Tuesday morning. And we're going to be talking with my friend Dick Thompson from the Thomas More Law Center, who's an amazing warrior who's been on the front lines on the religious freedom issue for many, many years. If you don't know about Dick's story, it's very interesting. You know how he came into the Catholic Church? He's a convert. It was Jack Kevorkian. I'm not kidding. That led him to study the teachings of the Catholic Church. When Dick was Oakland County prosecutor and when the Kevorkian cases first started to make news, he was looking for more background on the issue of euthanasia and met up with the one, the only, Father John Hardin, who helped him and gave him resources. And the rest, as we say, folks, is history. And then Tom Monahan started the Thomas More Law Center, of course, named after the great saint and martyr Thomas More, and started the Thomas More Law Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, just upstairs from us at Ave Maria Radio, and they have been defending religious liberty ever since. But Dick is going to kind of give us a lay of the land. Now, this issue of religious liberty, it's almost as bad in terms of the life issues not getting a lot of coverage. Of course, the life issues have gotten more coverage, I think, in this election than ever before, because the issue of partial birth abortion came up in the last debate big time. So people are hearing about this, late-term abortions, they're hearing about numbers, or they're hearing about these issues. It's being discussed because the media could not ignore it. But this issue of religious freedom is still on the back burner, if mentioned at all. And so it's very, very crucial for us to understand what's at stake here in terms of our rights, upon which this country was founded, by the way, our constitutional rights, and what it means to have religious freedom. It is not only about worship. But already it's being limited to that in so many ways. Last night at our parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit, we had a special mass praying for our country and for the election. And after that, we had exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and then, of course, adoration all night long. And it's concluding right now with a mass as people are getting prepared to go to the polls and praying for this issue of religious freedom. And reminding us that now the bishops have said this is one of the non-negotiables. Worship, of course, is extremely important. But in parts of the country right now, churches can't even have fish fries or, you know, bingo or a festival or something that would be considered a public event without having a specific transgender, not a unisex bathroom, but transgender bathrooms, meaning that you have your bathrooms and if someone feels like a man today or someone feels like a woman, they should be free to go in either bathroom at any time at these events. And if the churches don't do this, the pastors face possible arrest or stiff fines. In Georgia, there was a professor who was fired from his job recently. You heard us talking about this 2 weeks ago. Because they found out that he was a pastor on the side. It was a part-time thing for him. But he belongs to a very a good evangelical church, and he's a brother in the Lord, and upholding the teachings, of course, of Christ regarding marriage and family and life. And after they hired him, they fired him because they found out about his beliefs. And it goes on and on and on and on. And so this is why the bishops and, of course, EWTN and many other Catholic entities are still battling for their lives, basically, because the government is saying that groups like EWTN and Little Sisters of the Poor have to include coverage for abortifacients, artificial birth control, and now they're even pushing for abortions to be covered in those insurance packages. And you don't hear a peep about this out there in the secular press. So this is another issue that you need to pray about when you're heading to the polls. It's kind of this ethereal thing. People hear about religious freedom and they think, oh, well, you know, I can still go to church. I can still go to my vigil mass on Saturday, my regular mass on Sunday. I can still go during, you know, Christmas, and I can still get the sacraments and get what I need. And, oh, what's all this talk about religious freedom? Well, if you're a small business and you try to live out your faith, how would you feel, or how would you feel if a friend who owns a small business is told that he or she, let's say at their bakery or their workshop or their law firm, has to have transgender bathrooms or has to cover these types of things in insurance packages? That is also religious freedom. And we've seen what's happening in other parts of the world when religious freedom is denied. We'll talk about all of this, plus you, of course, on today's edition of Catholic Connection. Again, the Mass was beautiful last night. We opened it up to the entire area, and we had a very nice turnout, and I was very proud of my husband, Deacon Dom, and thanks be to God. Thanks for the prayers, by the way. I know a lot of people in Scranton were praying for him to get out on time. He was supposed to come home yesterday morning. He was in Pennsylvania visiting his family, and he had a 6 a.m. flight that got canceled, and then the flight got rescheduled for 5 o'clock, and he made it out and got home. As a matter of fact, I did the first reading at the Mass, and I was calling him getting ready, and I picked up my phone and called his cell phone. I said, honey, where are you? Are you home? He goes, yeah, I'm in the garage. I'm walking in the house right now. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you for the prayers, and I was very proud of him. He did a beautiful homily and talked about religious freedom and took a lot of quotes from Archbishop Chaput's amazing book, amazing, Render Unto Caesar. All right, so already it's 7 minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning. We look forward to chatting with you and, of course, starting out by talking with our dear, dear friend, Dick Thompson from the Thomas More Law Center. I'm also going to be sharing some thoughts on how we are to go forward here after we vote today, Ephesians 6. I'll share with you some thoughts from a beautiful talk from Carl Anderson, the Supreme Knight of the Wonderful Knights of Columbus, a great story on EWTNnews.com this morning. I just ask you, please, we're not talking about voting for specific candidates. Let's not mention names. We don't do that here. We are talking about the issues and talking about what the church teachings say, but we are not here to say I voted for this person or that person and why, but we are talking about maybe what's been on your heart. How about how you've been trying to witness? Maybe you've taken some of our resources at EWTN.com or the Register or Ave Maria Radio. Maybe you've posted some articles on Facebook. Maybe you've been out at the polls passing out pro-life material. What have you gained through this very exhausting and emotionally draining election season? All right. Right now, though, we do have to check the news and let you know what's happening in and around our world on a Tuesday morning. It's Election Day 2016. Well, New York City police are on high alert for potential terrorist attacks this election, as Sarah Lee Kessler explains.
5,000 heavily armed police officers are being deployed following threats by ISIS calling on supporters to attack voters.
We've seen them before holidays. We've seen them before special events. This is part of their MO. We take all threats seriously.
The NYPD's John Miller saying the police deployment is the largest detail ever on Election Day, but this is no ordinary election. It's the first one in more than 70 years in which both presidential candidates will be in New York City on election night. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump now putting his fate in the hands of voters across the country, finishing his nearly 17-month bid for the White House with a 35-minute speech in Grand Rapids early this morning and spending some of it talking about the auto industry and the Flint, Michigan water crisis.
It used to be the cars were made in Flint and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Now the cars are made in Mexico and you can't drink the water in Flint.
Trump hitting on familiar themes of blaming NAFTA for job losses in the Midwest and saying the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership will destroy the auto industry. He actually took the stage around 12:30 this morning after a speech in New Hampshire saying he wanted to close things out in western Michigan after learning that Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton was speaking in the area Monday afternoon. Meanwhile, Terry Moore says the day brings an end to one of the longest, nastiest, and most expensive presidential campaigns in memory.
Democrat Hillary Clinton hopes to make history by being elected the nation's first female president.
This election is basically between division and unity in our country.
Republican Donald Trump hopes to upset Clinton's plans.
Everybody is thirsting for change.
Both nominees embarked on a final blitz of some key battleground states. Clinton is still thought to have more paths to 270 electoral votes, which are needed to secure the White House. I'm Terry Moore.
And the Justice Department is saying it will monitor polls in 28 states today. The department's Civil Rights Division deploying more than 500 monitors to polling places. State and local governments have the primary responsibility for conducting elections, but the Civil Rights Division is responsible for enforcing federal voting rights laws that protect the rights of citizens when casting their ballot. Feeling a little bit stressed because of the election? Well, you're not alone. This election, according to the psychological experts, causing a great deal of stress, more than other elections in the past.
And we're seeing two people who are really not talking about the facts. And cognitively, there's anxiety.
That's psychologist Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, who says the two presidential candidates, she says, have made this election more personal than issue-oriented. She also says social media is creating anxiety because it allows users to see what other people think, and it doesn't necessarily coincide with their own personal beliefs or opinions. She says their advice, back away from the computer to reduce the anxiety, stay off of social media until after the election, and don't talk about it if you get overly anxious. Well, there are some other big issues besides elected office on the ballot this year.
Some of the big ones this year are on marijuana laws, minimum wage, gun control, tobacco taxes, and other taxes more broadly.
Political science professor Sean Foreman at Barry University is saying voters in several states will have a lot to consider. Arizona, California, and Massachusetts are going to decide whether to make marijuana legal for individuals over 21 years old. Arkansas and Montana, among the states voting on medical marijuana legalization, California, Nebraska, and Oklahoma voters can all weigh in on the death penalty in the upcoming election. In Colorado, that's a big one, especially for us, has a ballot measure involving legalizing assisted suicide. And more on the gun control legislation that's coming up in the polls across the country today. In California, voters there are deciding whether some people will need to undergo background checks before they can buy ammunition. The measure would also increase penalties for stealing certain guns or for having large capacity ammunition magazines. In Nevada and Maine, residents voting on universal background checks for all sales of firearms, including private ones. And in the state of Washington, voters there determining whether judges can keep people from having guns if they are found to pose a danger to themselves or others. And a Texas app developer says an Alaska woman is the first American to vote in a presidential election with an iPhone app. The Vote USA app works by scanning an absentee ballot and sending it to the Division of Elections office. In Alaska, voters are able to return absentee ballots through fax machines, which is how the app is able to return a valid ballot. Alaska, though, is the only state so far in which the legality of voting through this app is clear and acceptable. Well, for the first time in its history, in other news this morning, a cardinal is going to head the Archdiocese of New York. That's one of the largest, as Ethan Harp reports, in the country.
Pope Francis has appointed Cardinal-elect Joseph Tobin of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis to replace outgoing Archbishop John Myers. Tobin will be elevated to cardinal this month and starts in Newark in January. He says he's surprised by both new appointments.
To be part of a city that's facing challenges, I think, is wonderful, you know, and hopefully to be a positive force in that city.
Archbishop Myers had been criticized for his handling of sex abuse cases and lavish spending on his retirement home. Ethan Harp, New Jersey.
It is just about 14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a blessed Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. It's Election Day, and we have an expert on the phone with us regarding religious freedom and many issues that face us as Catholics. His name is Richard Thompson from the Thomas More Law Center. He's a longtime friend of mine. We go way back. I won't say how far because it's actually quite frightening. I've known him for a really long time. When I was a reporter at the Independent Station, which was back in the, oh my goodness, late 80s, early 90s. And then, of course, when I was at Channel 7, covered many stories interviewing him. And little did we both know that we'd both be working for the church in a very unique way. You never know, as my mother always says. When you want to make God laugh, make plans. Anyway, I digress. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. The issue of religious freedom, it's huge. And Dick Thompson is an expert. He'll help us set the stage as to what we should be concerned with when we go to the polls. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, and my wife Janet and I would like to invite you to join us on the Catholic Heritage of Mexico pilgrimage. It's a great country of delightful surprises, one of the places where Christianity started in the Western Hemisphere. We're going to visit Mexico City, but we're going to spend a lot of time in Guadalupe with time to study and pray and learn as we go through this wonderful country. We hope that you can join us this December 2016.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link. Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
877-573-7825. If you have a question about the extremely crucial issue, which has now been included in the non-negotiables for the bishops of religious freedom, we have one of the top experts on the phone with us right now, Richard Thompson, President and Chief Counsel of the Thomas More Law Center, which is based in Ann Arbor, actually not too far from our studios here at Domino's Farms. He spent 24 years of his professional career at the executive level of law enforcement as elected Oakland County, Michigan prosecuting attorney for 8 years. He directed a staff of nearly 200 people, of course, with an annual budget of $12 million. Huge list of accomplishments, and I'm proud to say I've known Dick for many, many years and interviewed him as a prosecutor, and I was a TV reporter. And then, of course, when we both he came into the church, I came back to the church about the same time, and now God is using us in ways we never expected, but we are certainly enjoying it and are putting ourselves out there for the Lord. Dick, how goes the battle, my friend?
It goes, and it is a battle. And
yeah.
You know, today is an important aspect of that battle as Americans go to the polls and actually cast a vote which will decide the future of our nation for the next 40 years. Because,
yeah,
as you know, Teresa, there are several Supreme Court justice nominations that will probably take place in the next 4 to 8 years, which will really, if you look at it, take us to about 2040 and beyond. So we are making decisions today that will affect the future of our nation. We're at a crossroads, and I'm concerned that you know, religious liberty is under attack, as you know very well, with the HHS mandate. They were demanding that Catholics and Christians who believed in the pro-life movement, who believed that life begins at conception, did not want to follow the HHS mandate, and there were several lawsuits filed challenging the federal government on that. We were involved in several of those cases. The fact remains that still, relating to nonprofit organizations, the Supreme Court has not made a decision as to whether nonprofit organizations can claim religious freedom as a basis for not getting involved with providing insurance coverage for contraception. That's just one of the examples. The other example, which is really will have a long-lasting impact on our society, is the Obergefell decision, which stated
marriage.
That same-sex marriage is valid and is as valid as marriage between a man and a woman, which basically redefined the whole institution of marriage, which, as you know, our society depends on, the man and a woman having children, raising their children in a family, which is the nucleus or the cell of society. So there are tremendous battles that we are having. And then just more recently, the case of transgender bathrooms, where people are really upset that the privacy of their children is being invaded. So these huge societal issues that we are dealing with now will ultimately land in the Supreme Court of the United States, and the makeup of that court will basically decide which direction we go. So that's why this election is so important. We're at a crossroads, and Catholics and Christians are facing challenges to our institutional existence and mission. You know, they keep on trying to narrow the definition of religious freedom to only mean
worship.
The freedom to worship. And that was never the concept that our founding fathers had for religious freedom. In fact, they thought religious freedom was the most important freedom that Americans had, because we relied on a government for by the consent of the people. The founding fathers realized that it was only religion that created virtuous citizens, and only virtuous citizens could sustain a democratic republic such as ours. You know, our founding fathers said man's duty of honoring God is precedent both in order of time and a degree of obligation to the claims of civil society. Thomas Jefferson said no provision in our Constitution ought to be dearer to man than that which protects the right of conscience against the enterprises of civil authority. But we now have a system of government promulgated by the Supreme Court, which slowly removes the concept that our rights come from God, not from government. And that's where this challenge is. And when people go to the voting booth, they have to realize is that they are exercising not only a public duty, but a moral duty to try to elect the person that most fulfills their religious concepts. You know, this is where the cardinal virtue of prudence comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we have flawed candidates from both all the parties, and what we have to decide as Catholics is which candidate basically will advance the teachings of the Church and the teachings of religious freedom, and especially in the pro-life area. You know, we this past Sunday, one of the readings were from Maccabees.
Right,
where
the first reading from Maccabees, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. It was so apropos to what we're facing today, and that was the issue was whether the king was going to force this mother and her seven sons to eat pork, which was contrary to their religious beliefs. And basically all of them refused to deny their religion on pain of death. And we had a great homily by a priest, associate pastor at Our Lady of Good Counsel.
Oh, I heard about it. We're trying to find it online. Yeah, one of my listeners called me. It was a father.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Father Prentice?
It was Preston.
Preston, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Preston. He's an associate pastor, a new one, an African-American. And he related to that and said, oh, what's the big deal? It was just eating a little bacon. You know, I mean, he was trying to show that even in this issue of what you would eat, this mother and her seven sons were put to death rather than defy their religion.
God. Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he brought that home to Catholics. You know, what we have in our, what we were going to be voting for in the confines of that voting booth is the right to life, Does life begin from the moment of conception? Is it intrinsic value of the church? And does it end at natural death? So we're talking about abortion and euthanasia. And although he never said who to vote for, he basically said it is a moral responsibility between each voter and his review or her review of what the church stands for to make that decision. It's a matter of prudence. We don't have, choice between one saint and the devil. They're both flawed candidates, but so it is really difficult and important to look at which candidate is going to promote the teachings of the Catholic Church and, of course, of a lot of Christians as well, and non-Christians.
Right. We're going to come back to that point, Dick, because a lot of people hear this and they say, oh, well, we can't force our religious beliefs on other people. But here's the thing. The Catholic Church is universal, and everything the Church teaches is not just good for us, but it's good for the common good because it's based on the truth of how we're designed in the image and likeness of God and, of course, the natural law. 877-573-7825. More with Dick Thompson when we come back.
Hi, it's Dan Weingartz. Stay ahead of winter storms with one of our in-stock Toro snowblowers. Toro snowblowers are strong and reliable and clear down to the pavement. And with prices starting at just $359, we have a Toro to fit every budget. For more information, visit Weingartz.com or our stores in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor.
Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 10th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Come join the members of Heart to Heart for a liturgical New Year celebration where you'll have the opportunity to learn about feast, fast, season, saints, and solemnities. Sample dishes for various holidays, holy days, and cultures. Bring your appetite and bring a friend. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
877-573-7825. Going to the polls today, or maybe you've already voted. It's our responsibility and duty as Catholics. We can't simply throw this away, especially as Dick Thompson just described what is at stake in our country and the impact of our country and the impact this could have on the world. Again, the phone number is 877-573-7825. Dick Thompson is the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Law Center. Extensive background in law enforcement, of course, and serving as a prosecutor of Oakland County for many years in southeastern Michigan. He gained national prominence as a prosecuting attorney for his uncompromising stand against Jack Kevorkian, despite public opinion here in the Great Lakes State, which overwhelmingly supported Dr. Death and physician-assisted suicide. And, of course, that is one of the ways he came into the Catholic Church. It's an amazing story, and I'm still waiting for you to write that book. I told you I'll write the foreword for you.
Well, I know. It's just been so busy fighting the wars, I don't have time sit back down and write a story. So.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing story how God has and continues to work in your life. Okay, getting back to the issue of religious freedom. Some people say, well, you know, we're Catholic and this is fine for us, but we can't force our religious beliefs on other people. What people need to understand is that when we talk about the teachings of the church, it's not just for us. The church is universal. And what we are given from God, handed down through 2,000 years of apostolic succession, is good for every person because God knows what's best for us, and we are made in his image and likeness, and it goes with, not against, the natural law.
Right. That the natural law is very important. And absolutely, the teachings of the Catholic Church based on natural law, the pro-life issue is something that you don't have to be a Catholic to accept or embrace. You don't have to be a Christian to accept and embrace. It is something that is in the natural law. Life begins at the moment of conception, and life should end at natural death. And, you know, there's now, again, this rising effort to legalize physician-assisted suicide, which ultimately will, again, change the entire structure of our culture, where life will only have meaning if the person is a productive member of society. There will not be the concept of the intrinsic value of each life, regardless of what that person can contribute to society. So there's a real danger going on. A secularization of our society is, I'm afraid, slowly taking over. There's this dark cloud. And one of the problems is Catholics feel that, well, it's okay for me to be a Catholic in the privacy of my home, but I have to keep my mouth shut and not evangelize because I don't want to be called intolerant or bigoted. I don't want to be ridiculed. So we have a cultural war that's going on, and a lot of Christians, and Catholics included, are conscientious objectors in that Catholic, in that culture war. You know, the Church proposes, but it never imposes. And it's up to lay people to go out in the public square and advance their position for the common good. And too often we have, especially Catholic politicians, who will say, mm-hmm. well, it's my private belief as to against abortion, but who am I to impose my beliefs on the rest of society? Well, we're not asking these politicians to impose their beliefs. We're asking them to stand up and speak out and defend the position that life begins at conception.
But they are imposing their beliefs when they're passing and supporting and endorsing and promoting and cheerleading for legislation for everything that goes against our faith. So they are imposing their beliefs because that's what they really believe. They're just playing a word game.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. There was a Protestant minister who was executed under I believe he was spent some time at concentration camp, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." And that goes right on to what you just said. You know, they are acting. They are speaking when in support of abortion, when they don't speak out against it. So this is an important election. It is an election that will determine the future of our nation for the next 40 or so years, and everyone should go out to the polls and vote their conscience. Pray before you vote. You know, Our Lady of Good Counsel, Father John Ricardo, several weeks ago started this process of every Wednesday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every Wednesday we fast for our nation, as we used to do in the beginning of this country. We used to have public fasting. We fast on Wednesdays, and then we come together and say the rosary at 5:30 and have a mass at 6 o'clock, all for our nation, to bring our nation back to God. And we're losing that. And Catholics and Christians of all denominations should be doing that. And I hope that it continues. And it should continue after this election, because America is this shining city on a hill, and we have to make sure that light shines brightly.
One quick question. We do have a caller, but I want to ask it for her since we're running out of time. Now, Christina is wondering, depending how this election goes, do you predict more litigation in terms of what we can and cannot say, what we can do, what we can't do, not only in the churches but in the schools?
Absolutely. You know, we have been holding workshops for priests, because what's going to happen is with this Obergefell decision, the homosexual agenda is going to try to curtail the ability of the church to speak out against same-sex marriage, and they will try to get into the church, into the rec halls, into the schools, and again, dilute the teachings of the Catholic Church. What they want to do, ultimately, is limit the ability of the Church to speak the truth to the people, to speak the truth to power. Many of these politicians view the Catholic Church as a main stumbling block to their liberal agenda, their radical liberal agenda, and they'll do everything they can to destroy its impact.
And that's why many of these candidates, when they're running for major offices, pick quote-unquote Catholics in name only, because they need the Catholic vote because of the numbers, because even if people are not Orthodox Catholics, many people still identify as Catholic, and even those in the pews may be going to Mass among the 24-25% that are still going to weekly Mass may still identify as Catholic, but beyond Sunday, they don't practice their faith, so if they put a Catholic title on someone, they know the importance of that, and they could say, well, what are you talking about? My Catholic, candidate that's running on the same ticket, he's pro-abortion, he's pro-same-sex marriage, and he even thinks the Church is going to change. So all this craziness.
Right.
But this is why it's so important to know our faith, and when we vote our conscience, it has to be a well-formed conscience based on prayer, the intercession of the Holy Spirit, and, of course, the Orthodox teachings of the Catholic Church.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Dick, great spending time with you, and going to continue to pray for your great work. By the way, if you want more information about the wonderful work that Dick Thompson and his excellent team of lawyers do at Thomas More, you can go to thomasmore.org, the Thomas More Law Center, Battle Ready to Defend America. That's what it says on their website, and so true. They've been doing that for years. The Thomas More Law Center can be found in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The website, again, is thomasmore.org. He has a great president's blog that keeps you up to date on different activities going on, the cases on which they're working. And keep up the good fight, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. God bless you, Teresa.
God bless, and God bless America. We'll be right back. More of your calls, and also a great homily from one of our local priests here in southeastern Michigan based on our first reading over the weekend from Maccabees. We'll be right back. It is a Tuesday morning election day. Phone lines are still open at 877-573-7825. We'll also have some words of wisdom from the one, the only, Mother Angelica. Stay tuned.
No matter how busy you are, you can find 3 minutes a day to focus on your moral and spiritual well-being. That's why the Christophers have a new book called 3 Minutes a Day. It's a book of daily reflections, and it's a perfect gift for yourself or your loved ones. To order a copy for $10, call 1-888-298-4050. Again, that's 1-888-298-4050, or visit Christophers.org to buy it online. We look forward to hearing from you.
High school juniors and seniors, college seniors and graduates, you're invited to the Ave Fall Fest Saturday, November 19th, hosted by Tom Monahan at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Learn about the incredible Ave Maria University Michigan Scholarship of $7,000 per year over 4 years and the generous Ave Maria School of Law Michigan Toledo Full Tuition Scholarship. Meet admission counselors and enjoy dinner, Sunday bar, and giveaways, all for free with registration at AveMariaFoundation.org.
How many of you abide by the 24-hour rule? You know, when angry, wait 24 hours and then respond? Even if you want to write that email while still in a rage, go ahead. But a wise man will push save and not send. He knows that in 24 hours, his tune will have changed. This concept is biblical. Just open the book of Proverbs. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:20. It takes discipline, maturity, and wisdom to wait before engaging with someone while angry. Wise is what the Lord aspires us to be. No doubt at one point or another in life, anger has gotten the best of all of us. But the next time you feel the need to respond to the person who is engaging you in an argument, write it down and sit on it for a while. In 24 hours, words of wisdom will have surfaced, and the foolish tongue will have been silenced. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, the communication evangelist.
We hope you're having a blessed Tuesday morning, November 8th, 2016. It's here. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness. What a crazy, topsy-turvy election year this has been. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Many of you may have already voted. Others are going to the polls today. I don't know. I'd like actually voting on the day if I can. And because I'm not traveling until tomorrow after the show, heading down to beautiful Birmingham, Alabama for the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference, I'm voting today. So I'm going to go vote right after the show, as a matter of fact. 877-573-7825. I love to highlight amazing priests that are speaking the truth in love. Dick Thompson from the Thomas More Law Center just mentioned that they heard a great homily at Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish in Plymouth, Michigan, which is the home parish, of course, of the wonderful Father John McCardle. But his associate pastors are also excellent as well. Now, there's another parish in the many parishes. We have over 300 in the Archdiocese of Detroit. So one of my listeners in Michigan, Sue, wrote me this morning. And she says, good morning, Teresa. I heard you start your show talking about the homily at OLGC on Sunday. I wish I would have thought to share this with you sooner, but our associate pastor in Waterford, Michigan, which is about 30 miles north of Detroit, at Our Lady of the Lakes Parish, his name is Father Brian Meldrum, also gave a very powerful homily on Sunday. She says, I'm sharing this with you because I found it so encouraging that our priest would say words that are often not said to the congregation and can be met with resistance. Apparently, he hit a nerve because Sue's sharing with us that one woman got up and walked out, so we pray for her. In the meantime, though, we did give it a listen, and she's right, it's excellent, and he based it, most of it, on the first reading that we had this weekend, a reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the other, said, what do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors. At the point of death, he said, you accursed friend, you are depriving fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying. Of course, they go on where all of the brothers, of course, did what they had to do to stand up for the faith. Are we willing to do that? Father Brian Meldrum takes a look at what we're up against in our world today. And he is from Our Lady of the Lakes in Waterford, Michigan. Take a listen.
Now, you and I know as Catholics, we are obligated to form our conscience well in accordance with what God has revealed to us in his word, what he has revealed to us in the teachings of the church, but most importantly, in the way that Jesus speaks to us, the law of love, the law of Christ's love in our heart. And the issues that face Catholics today, and this week in particular, in the areas of conscience are not much different from the time of Thomas More, many, many years ago. Marriage, the lifelong union of one man and one woman for the good of the spouses and the gift of children, a union that is meant to make spouses holy and get them to heaven, the way God designed it and revealed it to be, is threatening to be redefined. The life of the family itself, especially men, the role of you as fathers, the role of the father is diminished by our culture. Life itself, the greatest gift we have from God, who is resurrection and who is life, is carelessly and recklessly discarded by our culture that permits abortion on demand, which is the intentional taking of an innocent human life and can never be justified, and a culture that's becoming more and more accepting of things like euthanasia or so-called mercy killing at the end of life, at the other end of the spectrum. You and I know that the answers to these issues of conscience have been revealed to us by God. They've been written on our hearts. They are taught by the church. And the church and her bishops and her pastors continue to speak on these issues so that we Catholics can form our consciences well. Now, on election day, you can eat whatever you want. And unlike the guys in Maccabees, you won't violate God's law. You can have whatever you want for breakfast on election day. But there are things as a Catholic you cannot do in good conscience. As a Catholic, in good conscience, we cannot support any candidate or political party by our vote or by our personal beliefs that is openly willing to advance and permit things like abortion or the redefinition of marriage and the family, restrictions on our religious liberty and other religious liberty, or things like euthanasia. I will say that again because as a father, as the father of the spiritual family, you deserve to hear the truth. And the father tells his family the truth. A Catholic cannot, in good conscience, support with your personal belief or your vote any candidate or political platform that openly advances or permits abortion, the redefinition of marriage or the family, restrictions to religious liberty, or euthanasia, if your intent by your vote is to also support that position. If we do not secure these first principles, if we don't hold fast to the first things first, it becomes almost impossible to hold to anything. I would invite you and encourage you to read the bishop's document, your United States bishop's document called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. It can be found on their website, usccb.org, United States Council of Catholic Bishops.org. I don't know if our votes will change things. I don't know. God alone knows. I don't know what God has asked of us, but I know that the hearts of the faithful in the Catholic Church have changed the world time and time again. We've done it from the beginning when 12 fishermen, 12 nobodies from Galilee changed the face of the earth and the face of history. Thomas More did it in his own day. Saints throughout our time have done it. I don't know what will happen, but I do know this, that one day you and I will both stand before the throne of God, the King of all ages, and we will have to make an account for our life and our choices. Will you stand alongside Thomas More and so many saints, known and unknown, to say in good faith, I have never violated my own conscience, nor the law and the love of God that He has written on my heart? Will you be able to say that? I pray that you and I will. We have the chance to do something courageous and heroic, and acts of heroism and act of courage are what makes saints and what makes martyrs strong. If the choice is between violating your conscience and your Catholic faith and suffering ridicule or persecution, personal or social loss, or even death, Jesus and the saints make the choice clear. You are always to follow your conscience and God's law. You have a duty to vote, but an obligation to follow a conscience well formed by God's law and church teaching. And in doing this, you can always say, to adapt the last words of St. Thomas More at the scaffold, you can say that you were your country's good servant, or you were your country's good citizen, but God's first. God's first.
Wow. That's Father Brian Meldrum, a young priest, and thanks to one of our listeners, Sue, for passing that along. A beautiful homily, and he is from Our Lady of the Lakes in a lovely area of southeastern Michigan, north of Detroit, in the Archdiocese of Detroit in Waterford, Michigan. As he said, we have to stand before God, okay? And our conscience, he kept saying, well-formed, which is huge. So with that in mind, I want to close as we go to a break and come back and wrap up. Of course, we'll hear from Mother Angelica. Ephesians 6. 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor, of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I know you've been standing with us here at EWTN. I know you've been standing with us as we've been putting out resources and trying to educate you, to let you know about the attacks, as Dick Thompson outlined so eloquently today on my program, the attacks against life, children in the womb, the elderly, attacks against religious freedom, attacks against the Catholic Church, over and over and over again. But all we can do, brothers and sisters, is to do what we are called to do, as Father Meldrum said, to make sure we are guided by not just, of course, a quote-unquote conscience, but a well-formed conscience, guided by Scripture, and the teachings of the church. Some final words on this election day from the one, the only Mother Angelica when we come back on a Tuesday.
As healthcare open enrollment begins, we invite you to explore the CMF Curo Catholic Healthcare Ministry. CMF Curo is half the cost of many traditional healthcare options and is consistent with church teaching. Members share medical costs and are exempt from the Affordable Care Act. To learn more about CMF Curo, go to cmfcuro.com. Experience your faith in your healthcare today. Visit cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
Hello, this is Steve Frey, and my wife Janet and I would like to invite you to join us on the Catholic Heritage of Mexico pilgrimage. It's a great country of delightful surprises, one of the places where Christianity started in the Western Hemisphere. We're going to visit Mexico City, but we're going to spend a lot of time in Guadalupe with time to study and pray and learn as we go through this wonderful country. We hope that you can join us this December 2016.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link. What keeps us from believing in miracles? Scientific proof? Lack of faith? Do you know at every Mass we witness the greatest miracle of all? On November 19th, join Branches Catholic Ministries at the Scotiabank Convention Center in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Regenerated 2016 will address modern-day Eucharistic miracles, mystical events, and the scientific evidence behind them. Are these signs from God to help our unbelief? Get tickets at branchesoftheword.org. And see for yourself.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. I was just telling Andrew, I don't know where those tears came from. Well, yes, I do, from my gut, because we're all physically and emotionally exhausted, and we know what's at stake in terms of life and what's happened with abortion and with marriage and with all this. And we also know that in many ways we, as a church, have ourselves to blame, because for many years I was silent on a lot of issues, and if we were doing more and being more like the Dick Thompsons and the Father Meldrums of the world, we could be in a very, very different place. Be that as it may, we do have a chance today to bring America back to life and grounded again. And with that in mind, I want to close with a very, very powerful, powerful clip of the one, the only Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN, who lives on in so many great TV and radio moments and, of course, in our hearts as an amazing woman who founded EWTN. We don't have to wonder what she would say or think about things, because we have so much great material to consistently draw from and to bring us right back to basics. And in this particular clip, I played it, I believe, maybe 2 weeks ago. Mother Angelica is talking about her own journey in terms of how she learned about voting, and saying even once that she wrote in Jesus on a ballot because she was so disgusted by the candidates that were being presented for us. My husband last night said, you know what, it really is frustrating in his homily. He said, we look at these candidates and neither of them is very presidential. But our Blessed Lady, of course, and our Lord and Savior Jesus are not running for office anytime soon, so therefore we have to pull back and look, as we've been stressing on this program, on other programs, on television, at the National Catholic Register, on all of our programs from Ave Maria Radio and all the ones you've been listening to in our wonderful affiliates. You know what? That we have to, of course, look at the big picture and, of course, vote the church teachings as in life. So we'll close with the one, the only, Mother Angelica, talking about why we need to vote life. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, the day after the election, on a Wednesday.
Now, somebody's asking me here to clarify something. I'm happy to. It says, or they're saying, should we really vote for anyone? 1 year I voted for Jesus. I didn't know what to vote for. I said, write in vote. So I put Jesus. He's the only one I thought could make it and would do a good job. That was a lost vote, I was told. Okay, so should you vote? Oh, yes, you should. Does it matter who we vote for? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to vote for candidates. I vote for life. For life. I vote for life. Because it's an abomination to God. The culture of death. An abomination to God. The culture of death. I cannot vote for death. I vote for life. I vote for the God who gave us life and has a right, the only one who has a right to create life and call it forth to himself. The only one. You don't have a right. I don't have a right. Nobody has a right to call death upon someone God has called to life. If we don't stand for the principles of God, you will be next, because you're getting too old. You take up too much time in medicine. Yeah. The culture of death is hard, unbending. It is without love, without compassion, without hope. It's the blackest pit. There's nothing. Nothing but darkness. I cannot vote for that. I cannot vote for that.
The one, the only, Mother Angelica. Thanks so much for tuning in to us every single day here at the EWTN Radio Network. Go to our website, EWTN.com, and the National Catholic Register for great resources. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, the day after this big election, with Father Mitch Pacwa and you. God bless America.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, I'm State Representative Clint Kesto, and I would like to remind you to vote for pro-life candidates on November 8th. I am proud to be pro-life, and as the representative of Commerce Township, West Bloomfield, Wolverine Lake, and Wixom, my goal every day is to represent all people and all life. Again, this is State Representative Clint Kesto reminding you to vote on November 8th and to vote for those who honor life. Paid for by CTE Clint Kesto.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. You may be Catholic today merely because your family is Irish or Italian or from the Philippines. Going to Mass is what you do because your family has always done it. But being a member of the body of Christ is so much more than a cultural or